Intelligence Committee said serving on the Intelligence Committee and hearing day after day, week after week briefings is why he supported the war in Iraq. Joe Biden said we don't know what he has, but we know that he continues to attempt to gain access to additional capability, which supported his own position in support of the war in Iraq. Now, Jay Rockefeller said there is unmistakable evidence about nuclear weapons in Iraq. I'm not sure if the Democrat leaders were brainwashed. I'm not sure if this is pure or simple political hypocrisy, or perhaps it could be cut-and-run politics based on what polling shows. The bottom line is that the war on terror and the challenges in the war on terror require leaders in both parties who will do what's necessary to win the war and not either cut-and-run, engage in political hypocrisy, or be brainwashed in the lead-up to an important decision and an important vote. And so I hope that our Democratic friends will adopt a more resolute approach to this war on terror as opposed to a political approach. And with that, I'll be happy to open it up to questions and comments.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. If you would like to withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. It'll be just a moment for the first question to come in. Our first question comes from Scott Hannon. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, how are you?
Good.
A two-point question here. One, as far as Virginia, are you concerned at all about the tepid turnout, and does that signal a sign? I'm hearing from a lot of listeners that are staunch conservatives that are really anxious for the president specifically to cite some of the statistics you have about Hillary and others on pre-war intelligence, essentially saying, you know, the White House is not effectively fighting back some of this stuff going on, the attack on Cheney yesterday, and et cetera. And might that explain some of the turnout in Virginia?
Well, actually, in the top 39 Republican counties in Virginia, there was higher turnout in 2005 than when there was in 2001. So I'm not certain I agree with the notion that there. Look, off-year elections have historically had, and this is no exception, lower turnout than either the off-year or than the presidential year. But in fact, if you look at where there was turnout, there was higher turnout in the top 39 Republican counties. I think that's part of why Bill Bowling won and Bob McDonnell won. I wish a lot of those people had voted also for Jerry Kilgore. But the fact is there were, I think, about 77,000 people that voted simultaneously for Bill Bowling and also for Tim Kaine, which I think reflects how many people in the state believe the state was heading in the right track and in the right direction. In terms of the comments by Senator Reid yesterday, I don't know if that was his Lyndon LaRouche moment, but I have to say that I have not recall a Republican or Democrat politician of either party citing those kinds of conspiracy theories in those kinds of ways before.
But how about fighting back? Does the White House need to fight back better?
Well, I think that the White House has put the facts out. We're here putting the facts out. I think Republican senators have put the facts out. The facts are very clear. Everyone who looked at the evidence agreed before the Iraq War that Saddam Hussein had a weapons of mass destruction program which had weapons of mass destruction. That was one of several reasons cited for the war in Iraq. But as Joe Biden pointed out before the war, we don't know what he has, but we know it's a mistake to wait. And the question I have to anybody that's trying to Monday morning quarterback is, would in a post-9/11 world where 19 people can kill 3,000 Americans and others with nothing but box cutters, would it be smart to wait until Saddam Hussein has those weapons? It seems to me the lesson of 9/11 and the lesson, frankly, of wars during the 20th century is if you have a brutal enemy who you know is intent on destroying you and is intent on attacking you, to destroy him before he becomes an imminent threat while he is still a gathering threat, as the president noted, is a smart strategy.
But to better expose the hypocrisy, though, do you think that it would be better for the president or the vice president to get out front and maybe get some traction on this? Because I agree with you, the listeners agree with you, but nobody in the mainstream media seems to be pointing out the fact that this is complete and total hypocrisy and that these people made the very same case. Even Hillary Clinton has said that her husband, made the same case prior to George Bush even being in office.
Well, I think, look, I'm not going to tell them what to point out. We're certainly trying, and I think others are trying, and they have also will have that chance to try to put the facts out.
Operator, next question, please.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mark Silva. Go ahead.
Hi, Kim.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Great.
Ken, how concerned are you for the party in regard to the suburban vote? When you look at Virginia, and you start in Arlington County, which is notoriously Democratic, and Kane had ran up a big margin. But, you know, down into Fairfax, 60%, and even out into Loudoun County and Prince William County, Kane held on by a couple of points. What does that say about the
state of the suburban vote? Certainly one of the most important strategies that we did in 2004 and that we're trying to do nationwide is to simultaneously identify and motivate more conservatives and also to bring new faces and new voices into the party. That's something I strongly believe in. It's something I've spent a lot of energy focusing on. I think if you look again at the lieutenant governor results, it's pretty clear that in a lot of those suburban counties, he did better than the gubernatorial candidate. Part of the challenge I think you had was the fact that many people were happy with the status quo, particularly in the suburbs. And so I think that when they are, to say to them, things are great, you need to change, is a hard argument to make. And I think that may explain part of what you're seeing there. But there's no question we Republicans need to not only do better in the suburbs, we need to do better in the cities, too. And one of the big efforts we've made from the beginning has been by explaining ourselves in every community and in every audience, and by using smart technology and other things to identify people who are Republicans and maybe don't know it yet, or discerning Democrats and independents, too.
Do you think there was one particular issue in regard to the status quo? I know, Kilgore was talking about widening Route 66 or something.
Yeah, it's funny. I did a lot of campaigning, and every time I'd come back to Washington, I thought to myself, man, this is I could do a Kilgore commercial about Route Widening 66. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's an off-year election. A lot of people just kind of said, I'm happy with things. I don't want to change things. And if you look at the kind of campaign that Tim Kaine ran, where he talked about the Warner-Kaine administration, where he talked about basically things are going to stay the same, where he presented himself as a fiscal conservative, where he said he supported the Second Amendment, essentially the argument he made was, if you're happy with how things are, I'm not going to change anything. And I think that worked in a lot of places, like a Fairfax County, which is an affluent area, where people are generally relatively happy with where things are.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tyler Whitley. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Melvin. Did the president make a mistake coming to Richmond Monday night? He seemed to raise his stakes by coming here.
I don't think he did at all. The Kilgore campaign asked him to come. And look, this president's a stand-up guy. He is somebody that when an ally and someone who he believes in asks for help, he provides that help. And he doesn't think about this. I was the political director of the 02 campaign cycle. And it wasn't like the president was sitting around thinking to himself, should I do this? What am I, He instead said, I want to accomplish important things. To accomplish important things, it's important to have men and women who want to work and cooperate and develop smart strategies. And as a result, he campaigned then, and I think he felt the same thing in this election. And I think that he doesn't think about it in terms of his own political situation. He thinks about it in terms of what's the right thing to do.
Thanks. Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question comes from Chuck Miller. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I was just wondering, based on the results of the election today, that you think that Satan has actually taken over the country.
Next question, please.
Next question comes from Kenny Mahill. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is, Kenny just stepped out. This is Charlie Erickson with Hispanic Link News Service here in Washington. In Virginia, the Republican candidate for governor and the Republican candidate for attorney general both ran numerous ads attacking the immigration system and particularly undocumented persons who were here in the United States with a pledge to rid the country of such people. Do you think, and it drew a lot of very negative response in the Hispanic community, do you feel that this is a strategy that the Republicans should continue as they continue to seek better results from the Hispanic community?
Well, I'm not sure. I'll tell you, I appeared a number of times with Bob McDonnell and with Jerry Kilgore, and every time I appeared with them, they made very clear that they believe that America is a nation of immigrants and we're a nation of laws. They believe that we need to crack down on illegal immigration, and we also need to support legal immigration. And I think most Americans feel that way. We're better off because we're a nation of immigrants. We're also a nation of laws, and we need to make sure that we accomplish both goals.
There never seems to be any attack on the employers as the people who may lure them here and may also hire them.
Well, I think that there's no question. If you look at, for instance, what the president and some others have talked about, there needs to be increased border patrol. There needs to be increased interior enforcement, including with respect to employers. And there needs to be a smart strategy that says that, given that there are some jobs and there are some areas where we have an economic need to have folks come in and take those jobs, there needs to be a way to deal with that economic reality. And so I think all three are part of a smart strategy. Thanks. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Donna Casada. Go ahead.
J.D. Hayworth said this morning that he doesn't want President Bush coming to his district, and this Friday, Senator Santorum is going to be in Pennsylvania at an event but will not be appearing with the president. Can you comment on the reaction of Republican candidates and their concerns about appearances with the president over the next year?
I'll just say, look, the president has always, from the beginning, where he can be helpful and where people want him to be helpful, he'll be helpful. He's a generous person. He's someone that cares a lot about electing allies and friends and building the party. And for people that believe that it would be better if he didn't, then that's fine for them too. Thanks. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Richard Kyle. Go ahead.
Ken, separate and apart from yesterday's results, which clearly do not necessarily have any historical precedent for what happens the following year, the sort of wrong track numbers, the percentage of people who think the nation's going in the wrong direction or on the wrong track, are reasonably close to where they were at this point before the 94 midterms. And in that race, there were a bunch of open seats. You guys picked up a ton. I forget the exact number, but I know that 36 incumbents lost, and all 36 were Democrats. Is this something that you're at all concerned about going forward into the next?
Well, I think if you look at where we stand today and where we stood in 1994, there are a number of very important differences. One of the most important differences, if you looked at like 93, you were in a place where there were likely to be about 100 competitive seats, and this next election there may be 25 competitive seats. There are obviously the two most important places where pickups are usually likely are districts where either they're opened or districts where a congressman from one party has won, but in the previous presidential election, the president of the other party won. So, for instance, in the 1994 election, there were 53 congressional districts that Bill Clinton won that were represented by, I'm sorry, that George Bush Sr., 41st president, won that were represented by Democrats. That should have been a wake-up call to every one of those congressmen, particularly since, remember, that 92 election, the President Bush got about 37% of the vote. That told you there were a whole lot of districts that were very conservative, mm-hmm, and that had Democrats representing them that necessarily didn't always represent those conservative views. Look at it today. There are 41 districts today in which George Bush won in 2004, and Democrats represent only 18 that John Kerry won and Republicans represent. So I think if you look at the underlying kind of structure of these races, it's a very different position than it was in the 1994 election than what it is today. I also believe that in 1994, for voters who wanted change, Republicans offered a positive agenda for change, and Democrats sought to protect the status quo. On issue after issue after issue today, it's Republicans, whether it's an independence in energy, whether it's health savings accounts, whether it's saving Social Security, whether it's tax reform, whether it's litigation reform, whether it's reforming government to deal with the war on terror, it's been the Republicans that have been the proponents of change, and it's been the Democrats that have been the defenders of the status quo. Thanks. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Marilyn Baxley. Go ahead.
Hi, yes, hello. I'd like to voice my concern about one thing. Amateur Lobby is now in town in Washington, D.C., and I would like, as part of the Select Senate Investigation Committee's reporting, to really question this man, because I think that he really led President Bush down the wrong path, and I just feel terrible about what's happening. And why isn't there a concerted effort to subpoena him?
Well, thank you very much. Next question.
From David Hirsch. Go ahead.
Hi, Ken. I honestly am just very concerned about Rick Santorum's chances next year. Even every poll I've seen has had him down by double digits. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on that, and
Senator Santorum is a good man and works hard to represent his state. He fights for his state. I think that his opponent is someone who has had a whole bunch of jobs in the past couple of years. He's looking for another one, and I think that the voters of Pennsylvania are going to vote for a principled fighter as opposed to a career politician looking for his next job. Next and final question, please.
Next question comes from David Kassam. Go ahead.
Mr. Millman, why do Republicans suck so much ass?
Thanks, everyone, for getting on the call. Obviously, a certain level of infiltration occurred, and we're hoping to do more of these soon. And if you have any questions, please follow up with calls to myself at 863-8614 or Tracy Schmidt at the same number. Thanks, everybody.